although he was easy enough to spot. Halfway up the block, he was ambling along. He had a limp on the right and a garbage bag slung over his left shoulder. Peyton saw him just before he rounded the corner.
"Let's follow him. See where he goes."
"Absolutely not. Why not? Because it's dangerous, and an invasion of his privacy. We're not following a homeless person."
"But if we know where he sleeps at night, maybe the police would help."
"No."
"Please?"
"No."
"Fine."
I should have known she wasn't going to drop it so quick.
Chapter 4. Reese. My cell had rung bright and early this morning, and suddenly I had an unexpected lunch date I was rather looking forward to. Chase had mentioned he had a friend who was a recruiter, but he'd failed to include the part that the woman, Samantha, recruited for Parker Industries, a company he owned. I was instantly intrigued, and I'll admit I was a tad bit disappointed when she suggested we meet at a restaurant. Even though it was easy to get to, only a few stops on the subway from my soon-to-be-vacated office at Fresh Look, there wouldn't be any chance of running into Chase, since we weren't meeting at his office. But lunch had turned out to be pretty enlightening. We'd spent 2 hours at a restaurant, now followed by a long walk through the park. After we'd talked about my background and what I was looking for in an employer, the conversation turned to Parker Industries. "So, Chase actually invents the products himself?" I asked. Perhaps I should have spent time Googling the man instead of ogling him on Facebook. "He used to, although these days he has an entire research and development team. But most of the ideas they work on are his. Believe it or not, that pretty boy is the smartest person I've ever met." "What was the first product he ever invented?" "The Pampered Pussy." I stopped in place. "The what?" Samantha laughed. "It's packaged as divine wax now that it's licensed in 50 countries, but back in college, it was the Pampered Pussy." "He invented divine wax? I've heard that stuff is awesome." "Sure did. During college, he lived in a frat with a bunch of muscle heads. Some of them were hardcore into working out. His sophomore year, a few had begun to compete in local bodybuilding contests. They had to wax their bodies, and these brawny tough guys used to bitch that the waxing hurt. Chase worked in the university's chem lab part-time and figured out how to incorporate a numbing agent into the wax. So, after the hot wax was painted on the guys' chests and backs, they didn't feel anything as it was ripped off a few seconds later. And it turned into a household brand for women? It took a while. Word spread at Brown that a hot guy could do waxing without the pain, and that evolved into the Pampered Pussy. He'd go to sororities and make a grand in an afternoon, and get laid by the prettiest girl in the house while he was there. It was unbelievable. Samantha laughed. He was always easy on the eyes, and a little arrogant because of his brains. Women love that combination. We sure do. That's pretty amazing. How did it get to the next level? Junior year, he was providing wax and doing whatever else to Dakota Canning. Heir to Canning and Canning. The Fortune 100 pharmaceutical company? That's the one. I guess Dakota told her father about the wax and things just progressed from there. It was packaged and sold under a license agreement within 6 months. When Chase graduated Brown, he'd already made his first million. That's seriously unbelievable. Yep. He's like the Zuckerberg of vaginas now. Has a dozen other products he's chemically improved. Most are in the health and beauty segment, but he also invented a burn cream that regenerates skin and decreases pain, and it only needs to be applied once a day. Most burn creams need multiple applications, and touching the skin after a severe burn is both excruciatingly painful and increases the chances of infection. Incredible. It is. Just don't tell him I said that. She smiled softly. So, how did you two meet again? He mentioned a double date, but didn't get into details. Pulling anything personal from that man is like breaking into Fort Knox, and we've known each other since middle school. It's actually a bizarre story. I was on a bad date and hiding outside the restaurant bathroom, leaving a message for my friend to call me back and pretend there was an emergency. Chase overheard me and basically called me out for being rude. After I went back to my date, he wound up coming over with his date and joining us. He knew your date? Nope. He pretended we were old friends and joined us. Told these elaborate stories about our fake childhood. Some of them were so detailed and real, I started to feel like they were actually true. The story part sounds like Chase. In high school, he wrote a creative writing paper for my friend Peyton once. He handed it to her right before she had English class, so she didn't have time to read it beforehand. The guidance counselor called her down the next morning because her English teacher had become concerned about her well-being. He'd written some crazy story about being attacked by a wild boar during a camping trip with her parents, who were too drunk to help fight the thing off. The way he detailed the trip to the emergency room and all the stitches, it seemed too explicit not to be real. Yes, that's exactly what he did to me. He told some crazy story about our first kiss in eighth grade and how I'd gotten a bloody nose in the middle of it. It was so far-fetched that it was believable. She shook her head and laughed. There's a fine line between genius and unhinged. When we arrived back at the street exit from the park, Samantha extended her hand. It was really nice to get to meet you, Reese. I have to say, I was curious when Chase called me at home last night to ask me to look into helping you find something. He doesn't usually mix his personal life and business, but I get why he's so taken with you now. You're down to earth, smart, funny in a quick-witted type of way. A lot like Chase, actually. Oh, we're not... There isn't really a personal relationship to speak of. Just that one strange double date. And then we ran into each other again at the gym yesterday. She looked at me skeptically. Well, you must have made a good impression on him then. He doesn't usually farm me out. My brows drew together. Farm you out? I left industry recruiting 3 years ago. I usually just recruit for Parker Industries now. Oh, I just assumed. Chase said he knew a bulldog recruiter. I assumed you were also a corporate recruiter, not one exclusively for his corporation. That's what I used to do. But I'm glad he put us together. I have a lot of contacts in the women's product industry from Parker Industries. I'll put out some feelers to see who might be hiring. I actually know someone who might be in the market for a product brand manager. It's a lower-level position than what you're leaving, but it's soup-to-nuts advertising and marketing for a few products, so you'd get to do a full rebranding campaign. Although, they're looking for someone to start as soon as possible. Is that something you'd be interested in? My last day at Fresh Look is next Friday, and I don't have anything lined up yet. I'm not the type of person who likes to sit around, so I'd definitely consider something like that. Great. Give me a day or two, and I'll see what I can do. Tonight was my third date with Bryant. Fourth, if you counted the afternoon at the gym. He'd invited me over to his place for a home-cooked meal and a movie, and I knew that, given the privacy, things were likely to progress physically between us. We'd shared some heated kisses, but that had pretty much been it so far. In the shower, I thought about whether I was ready to have sex with him. By no means was I a prude. nor was there a certain number of hoops a guy had to jump through in order to get me into his bed. I'd had first dates that ended in sex, and I'd had four-month relationships that never progressed there. For me, it was what felt right. As I shaved my legs, I tried to wrap my arms around exactly how I felt about Bryant. He was a nice guy, 31, with no kids or ex-baggage, handsome, held a solid job as a mutual fund manager, and wasn't afraid to show affection. Yet as I ran the razor up my thigh, I found myself thinking of someone else entirely. Chase Parker. I tried to tell myself it was because of the stories Samantha had shared today at lunch. His wax invention. I was shaving my legs. That's why I was thinking about him in the shower instead of my date. When I washed my torso, I thought of the small ring in his nipple. I might have let my hand linger a little too long as I sudsed up my breasts. They need to be washed, after all. And I was only thinking of Chase as I closed my eyes, because I was curious about what his handsome face might look like if I took that ring between my teeth and tugged. I stopped my hand from lingering anywhere else, but it wasn't an easy feat. I had Chase on the brain when I should have had someone else. On the way over to Bryant's, I stopped and picked up a bottle of wine I knew he liked. When he opened the door, he was sweet.
"You look amazing,"
he said, then gave me a nice, welcome kiss. A buzzer was going off in the kitchen, so he told me to follow him. I checked the apartment out as I walked through. It was clean and modern. Even had some artwork on the walls. Most of my previous boyfriends thought decorating meant hanging a 60-inch TV. Progress. Bryant lifted the top off a pot and put it aside. Opening a box of rigatoni pasta, he smiled.
"I make two dishes, rigatoni alla vodka and chicken parmigiana. You had pasta primavera the first time we went out, so I thought rigatoni was the safest bet."
It was thoughtful that he remembered what I ate. "Can I do anything to help?"
"You can grab two glasses from there."
His chin pointed to a cabinet on his left as he poured the pasta into the boiling water.
"There's a bottle of wine in the fridge I already opened. I'll get the pasta going. You can pour."
He watched me while I filled each glass.
"What?" "I want to say something, but it might come off as creepy."
"Well, now you have to say it." I sipped my wine and extended his glass.
"All right. I couldn't stop thinking about you when I was in the shower today. How gorgeous you are."
That should have made me feel good, but instead, it made me feel like complete shit. While the great guy I was dating had been thinking about me, I'd been feeling myself up to thoughts of another man. I forced a weak smile. "That's sweet. Thank you." He stepped closer and brushed a lock of hair behind my ear.
"I mean it. I like you. You're smart, beautiful, and driven. I know it's early, but I feel like what's going on between us is a really good thing. It has legs."
I swallowed. I really did like him too, but something was keeping me from jumping in with both feet. His words were what every single 28-year-old woman wanted to hear from a great guy. Yet, I wasn't there yet. He read it on my face. Pulling back, he said,
"I'm freaking you out, aren't I?"
I hated to make him feel bad because I really did like him. "No, not at all. I like you too. I just think we should take it slow at the beginning. I haven't had much luck in the relationship department, and I tend to be gun-shy, I guess." He nodded, and although he smiled, I could tell he was disappointed with my response. Hell, I was disappointed with my response. I've been trying to talk myself into being crazy about him for a while now. But that's what was missing. That crazy feeling I should have had. This early on, butterflies should have been flapping their colorful wings when he said those things, or looked at me like he did when he opened the door. I was determined to keep trying. He seemed worth it. Even though Brian said he agreed we should take things slow, a damper was cast on the rest of the night. Still, I was relieved that I wouldn't have to make the choice about sleeping with him if things went in that direction, because I'd realized I wasn't ready yet. As the night came to an early end, I wondered if I would ever be. Chapter 5. Reese. I really need to start taking taxis, I grumbled under my breath as I rushed up the subway stairs and headed down the block toward the building I would have already been at had my train not been stuck for 20 minutes. My interview was at 11, and it was already 11:01. Perhaps changing my outfit 8 times this morning hadn't helped my punctuality either. The Maxim building was a modern, all-glass high-rise with more than 50 floors. Inside the massive, sleek lobby, it took me a minute to even figure out where the company directory was. Everything was silver and shiny. Finding it, I scanned for Parker Industries and ran my finger across the glass to locate the corresponding location. Floor 33. Running to the elevator bank, I saw that one car was just about to close, so I stuck my foot in to stop it. It worked, but almost took off my shoes in the process. Shit! Ouch! The doors bounced open, and I hobbled my way inside, unknowingly sticking my shoe's thin heel into the small gap of the door track. With my heel stuck, my body kept going, yet my foot didn't. And I wobbled, falling forward. An arm caught me and kept me from landing on my face. God damn it! I cursed under my breath, realizing my shoe was now completely off my foot and stuck in the elevator track.
Nice to see you too, Reese.
My head whipped up as I realized for the first time exactly who was keeping me from falling. You've got to be kidding me. How many bad impressions can one person possibly make on another? After steadying me, Chase kneeled and pried my wedged footwear loose from the elevator. He tapped my calf to signal me to lift my bare leg and then slipped the shoe back onto my foot.
Definitely not a bad impression,
he said, lingering on his knees longer than necessary.
You have great legs.
Thank you. For unjamming my shoe, I mean. He stood, and his eyebrows rose.
So you're not thanking me for complimenting your sexy legs, then?
I felt a blush creeping up and was relieved when he turned his attention to the button panel.
What floor?
33? Is his company on more than one floor?
You're coming to Parker Industries. Are you here to meet Sam?
Yes, and Josh Lang.
Josh?
Yes, he's the one I'm interviewing with, right? The vice president of marketing?
Right. Yes, Josh is the VP of marketing.
He agreed, but I had the distinct feeling Chase hadn't known I was coming to interview today. We rode the elevator up in uncomfortable silence. When the doors slid open, he held out his arm for me to exit first, and we walked to the glass double doors of Parker Industries together. The reception desk was empty.
Why don't you have a seat, and I'll let them know you're here,
he said. Thank you. A minute or two after he went inside, the receptionist returned to her desk. Hi, sorry, I had to make some copies. I hope you weren't waiting long. Not at all. Actually, I came in with Chase, and he was going to let Samantha Richmond and Josh Lang know I was here. You must be Reese Ansley. Sam asked me to bring you to the conference room when you got here. She waved me back. Come on, I'll show you the way. The conference room had a long mahogany table with a dozen chairs around it. The walls to the hallway were glass, like a fishbowl, but the blinds on a track were partially closed. Once inside, I took out my chapstick and lined my lips, adding some MAC Rebel lipstick on top. As I finished, I heard Chase's voice from the other side of the glass.
I don't think it's a good idea to hire Reese.
My heart sank. Obviously, he didn't see me. I recognized Samantha's voice when she responded. Why? We have a position open that she would be perfect for.
She wouldn't be a good fit.
That's crap.
Don't give me a hard time, Sam. Just don't hire her.
I couldn't see her, but I pictured her folding her arms across her chest. Give me a reason.
Because I said so.
No.
No?
That's right. No. You're punishing the woman because she's beautiful and you're attracted to her. That's just as wrong as punishing someone because they're old or have a certain color skin.
You're totally off base.
Okay. Then give me one good reason we shouldn't hire her. She's perfect for the job, and she's able to start right away. With Demetria going out on maternity leave soon, the timing couldn't be better. Marketing is already understaffed, and Josh was planning on hiring someone for the branding team anyway. She can pick up some of Demetria's projects and then start new ones after Demetria is back from leave.
Whatever. Do what you want, Sam.
Sam's voice became more distant.
I plan to.
She must have begun to walk away. I closed my eyes. I certainly didn't want to work somewhere I wasn't wanted, but I needed to thank Samantha for her consideration before I left. Deciding it would be a waste of everyone's time to even interview, I stood and began to walk back to the reception area. I would have the receptionist call Samantha for me. Of course, Chase was coming down the hall as soon as I exited the conference room. I quickly turned and walked in the other direction, not even knowing where it would lead.
Reese, where are you going?
Why do you care? I kept walking. He caught up and fell in step with me.
What's the matter?
It pissed me off that he was acting all innocent, so I stopped and faced him to continue. I overheard you in the conference room. I'm leaving. He closed his eyes.
Shit.
Yes, shit. That's how you made me feel. I began walking again, and Chase grabbed my elbow and steered me into an empty office, shutting the door behind him. He raked his hand through his hair. His stupid, sexy hair.
I'm sorry. I was being an asshole.
Yes, you were. A big one. Chase dropped his head and chuckled.
You and Sam will get along great.
I take it you didn't know Samantha had invited me here to interview today? He shook his head.
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. Please thank Samantha for me.
It's not what you think.
I don't even know what I think. You have me so confused. Chase stared at me for a moment, looking back and forth between my eyes.
Trust me. I'm trying to do the right thing.
Trust you? Because you have such a great track record of telling the truth when you're around me? He glared at me. I glared right back.
Okay. Fine, you want the truth?
I folded my arms over my chest. That would be a refreshing change. He took a step closer to me, inching into my personal space.
I'm attracted to you. Really attracted to you. Have been since the first time I saw you. Tried to be respectful, considering you were seeing someone. Done doing that. If you work here, I'm going to try to get you into my bed.
I opened my mouth to respond, then closed it, then opened it. I can't believe you just said that to me. He shrugged.
He wanted to know the truth. That's the truth.
You do realize that I'd have to agree to sleep with you? Which wouldn't happen if you were my boss, so it wouldn't be a problem.
Oh. Well then, sounds like we wouldn't have a problem after all. I was concerned for nothing. I'll hit on you and you'll shut me down.
And I also have a boyfriend.
Baron. We've met. The dope.
Bryant. And he's not a dope.
Then we're all set. Sam was right. You should work here if Josh wants to hire you. Won't be an issue.
He leaned in a little closer. I stood my ground. God, he smells amazing.
So we're good. I apologize. You accept? You're going to kick ass in the interview and get hired. Then I'm going to try to get in your pants. And you're not going to let me.
I couldn't help but laugh. The man was truly absurd. He extended his hand.
Deal?
I've probably lost my mind, but hey, why not? I'm days from being unemployed. I put my hand in his, but instead of shaking it, he brought it to his mouth and kissed the top. I felt it all over. God, I'm in trouble. He smiled wolfishly, revealing a dimple I hadn't noticed earlier. It was a good thing he hadn't taken that thing out before. Dangerous.
All we have to do is get you hired now. You want some inside info?
Sure.
Tell Josh he looks like Adrian Brody. He loves it.
I smiled warily. Good to know.
And for Sam? Never say you're a Mets fan, even if you are. Yankees all the way.
I squinted suspiciously. You think baseball will come up in my interview for a marketing position?
You never know.
Why do I think you're screwing with me?
One other thing. Josh isn't hitting on you. That's a twitch he's got going on with his eye. I thought he was into me for the first week he worked here.
I laughed. Okay. Chase walked me back to the conference room where Sam and a man I presume to be Josh, since he looked exactly like Adrian Brody, were talking.
Showed your interviewee the way to the ladies' room,
Chase said, and then introduced me to Josh. After we all shook hands and the three of us had taken seats in the conference room, Chase lingered in the doorway. He held up a hand.
Nice to see you again, Reese. Good luck with your interview.
Would you like to stay for the interview, Chase? Sam asked.
No, I'm good. I'm sure you two have it covered.
Any questions or anything before you go? She added.
I don't think so.
Chase pivoted to leave and then stopped.
Actually, I do have some quick questions. Do you mind, Reese?
Not at all. What is he up to?
Great. Favorite baseball team?
I squinted at him, debating whether I should trust him or not. He looked amused when my answer didn't come quickly. I took a deep breath, followed by a leap of faith. I'd have to say the Yankees.
Good choice.
Chase's eyes flashed to Samantha, whose face had brightened.
One other question.
I knew exactly what it was before he asked, but played along anyway.
Does Josh look like any particular celebrity to you?
I turned to Josh and pretended to deliberate for a moment, then turned back to Chase. Adrian Brody, except with glasses. Sam looked at Chase like he'd lost his mind, and Josh sat a little taller.
Good luck with the rest of the interview, Reese.
Chapter 6. Reese. It was still dark outside when I arrived at Parker Industries the following Monday morning. Considering the building lights were off and the doors were locked, I realized I might have been a tad overeager for my first day. After loitering a few minutes in front of the building, waiting for someone to show up, I decided to head over to Starbucks for some coffee. It was next door to the restaurant where I'd first met Chase. While it seemed no one was ready to go to work yet, there was a hell of a long line for coffee. I joined the brigade at the back of the line like a good little soldier and proceeded to catch up with reading emails on my phone. A hand at my back startled me, but it was the voice whispering over my shoulder that sent a shiver down my spine.
"Am I the background on your iPhone, too?"
I jumped. "You scared the shit out of me!"
"Sorry, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to sneak a peek. Figured, since I'm your laptop background and all, the obsession might run pretty deep."
I turned and held out my phone. "I can see the similarities, but the photo is definitely not you." Chase took the phone from my hand.
"What the hell is that?"
"It's Tallulah."
"Is that thing real?"
"Of course it's real."
"Really ugly, isn't it?" "Is it a cat?"
"Yep, it's a sphinx. A hairless cat." It was seriously the ugliest pet I'd ever seen. Her head was too small for her body, and her face looked like a devil's. Wrinkly, pale, fleshy-colored skin made her resemble a turkey before you stuck it in the oven. My stepfather bought it for my mother for her birthday because she has bad allergies, and she really wanted a pet. Turns out, it isn't the hair she's allergic to. It's the protein in animals' saliva and skin. So she dumped the thing on me this weekend while she tries to find it a new owner. He paid $2,000 for that ugly kitty.
"You do see the irony here, right?"
Chase asked. "Irony?"
"You have a hairless pussy, and today you're starting a job where the flagship product is..."
I covered my mouth. "Oh, my God. You would find irony in that."
"What can I say? Bald is beautiful has made me a lot of money. That cat should be our company mascot."
I chuckled. "I'll keep that in mind for my first marketing project."
"What are you doing here so early anyway?"
He looked at his watch. It was then I realized he was dressed in running gear, not a shirt and tie like he had been at the office last week. I wanted to get an early start.
"Building doesn't open until 6:30. I was just about to go for a run, but I'll show you how to get in when it's closed after we get our coffee."
"It's okay. I can wait until it opens. I don't want to interrupt your exercise."
"Fucking hate running. I'll take any excuse I can get to put it off. Showing a beautiful woman the way to my office is at the top of that list of excuses."
He winked.
"Especially one who's going to sleep with me. Eventually."
God, he is cocky. And apparently, cocky really works for me. The line had moved up a few places, but I hadn't noticed since I was turned around talking to Chase. He lifted his chin to point to the gap between me and the person in front of me, and then put his hand on the small of my back to guide me forward. His touch felt so natural. When it was our turn at the register, he told me to order first. "I'll have a venti dark roast, black." Chase smiled and added,
"Make that two."
Then he insisted on paying for both. Caffeine in hand, we walked a block north and around to the back of the building, where he knocked on an unmarked set of steel doors. A guy opened one and greeted us as we entered.
"Mr. P, how's it going, man?"
"Not too shabby, Carlo, you?"
"Can't complain. Can't complain. Wife's a bitch, but I can't blame her for that. She's married to a fat, lazy guy."
The uniformed maintenance man patted his beer belly and smiled.
"Carlo, this is Reese Ansley.
Today is her first day with Parker Industries.
Nice to meet you, Miss A.
He wiped his hand off on his shirt and extended it to me while speaking to Chase.
You shooting a new catalog? You know, those are my favorite times of the year.
Not this week. Reese isn't a model, although she's pretty enough to be.
Chase winked at me again, and I felt a flutter in my belly. He's your boss, you pathetic thing. Maybe I should have sex with Bryant already. Might help take the edge off. Chase punched a code into the keypad above the elevator call button, and the doors to the service elevator slid open.
The code is 6969.
How will I ever remember that? I teased. As I went to step in, Chase wrapped his arm around my waist.
Wouldn't want you to trip again.
Wise ass.
I'm your boss now. You can't call me that.
I looked at my watch and smiled. Not on the clock yet, wise ass.
Is that how this is going to be?
It is.
Works both ways, then. Before and after office hours, I can say whatever is on my mind as well. That's a game you might want to rethink playing with me.
He pushed 33 and leaned closer.
Want to know what's on my mind right now? I can shut my eyes and describe the visual in detail if you'd like.
The elevator was suddenly very small and hot. Very damn hot. Just as the doors were about to close, a man in a suit stopped them and joined us. He grumbled something unintelligible and hit 22. Chase backed up a little and cleared his throat.
You'll need to use that service door before 6:30 and after 8.
Okay. In the tiny confines of the padded service elevator, Chase stood far enough away that it seemed normal, yet close enough that I could smell him. And he smelled incredible, woodsy and clean, which had me thinking. He probably doesn't get up and bathe just to go for a run. So that smell is how he wakes up in the morning? Damn. For some strange reason, I got a visual of Chase in the middle of the woods chopping down a tall oak. He was wearing jeans, with the top button left open, of course, and work boots. Sans shirt. Being this close to him had me losing my mind. I turned my head. Do you have a cabin in the woods, by chance? He looked amused.
I don't. Do I need one?
Never mind. Once we arrived on the floor, Chase gave me a quick tour. As we walked, I could feel the passion he had for his company while he gave me a brief overview of each department we passed. I'd lost Flirty Chase and met CEO Chase Parker. And I liked him just as much. He was so smart and fervent that I hadn't even noticed we'd spent more than an hour in the product development lab until people started coming in to start their workday. Chase showed me each product and gave me its history. When he came to the last product, Divine Wax, he left out some of the details Sam had filled me in about. Namely, how the pampered pussy kept him busy getting laid through most of college.
You should take home one of every product and try them out, he said.
Already bought them all over the weekend and pampered myself a little. I want to use each one before attempting to do anything marketing related with them.
And?
I think it's interesting that such lovely products are developed by a man.
What can I tell you? I'm in touch with my feminine side.
I heard you utilized your products to get in touch with the feminine side in college. Chase raised an eyebrow.
I see I have to keep you away from Sam.
But she's such a wealth of knowledge. His hand returned to the small of my back and guided me out of the product development lab.
That's the problem.
We walked to the marketing department side by side. How long have you two known each other?
Middle school.
Wow. As far back as we go, huh?
Yeah. But it wasn't her I was sucking face with in that hallway outside the gym.
A young guy walked out of the first office in the marketing department just as we passed. He was handsome, in an I-just-left-the-frat-house and scored my first real job type of adorable way. Chase stopped and introduced me.
Reese, this is Travis. He's IT for marketing. Does all of our SEO and web optimization.
He shook my hand with a goofy smile.
Please tell me she works here.
She does.
Damn, I love my job.
You do, huh? Well, pop your eyes back in the sockets and go read page 14 of the employee handbook.
Page 14?
The no harassing fellow employees policy.
Travis held up his hands and laughed.
All good. No harassment. Maybe just a few compliments on how beautiful she is.
This was definitely the type of office where everyone joked around, even with the boss. Chase leaned over to me as we continued walking down the hall and whispered,
"Stop worrying. Harassment policy only applies to the employees, not to the owner. Checked this morning."
The big office at the far end of the hallway was Josh's. He was sitting with an obviously pregnant woman when we arrived. She slouched in her chair and rubbed her round stomach.
"I found your new employee trying to get in before the sun rose this morning,"
Chase announced.
"Better put all that energy to good use."
He looked at the woman I assumed was the one going out on maternity leave soon.
"Looks like Demetria is about to pop any second."
She looked seriously uncomfortable, gripping and ungripping one of those gel-filled stress balls as she spoke.
"Why haven't you invented a product that stops pregnant women from peeing a little every time they sneeze or laugh? Or a product that makes the swelling go down in our ankles?"
She pointed to her feet.
"These are my mother's shoes. Nothing of mine fits me anymore, not even my own damn shoes."
Chase shook his head.
"Do you have any fears, Reese?"
"Fears? You mean like spiders and stuff? How much time you got?"
"Yeah, something that makes you run out of the room irrationally when you come into contact with it because it scares the living shit out of you."
"I'm not much of a pigeon person. I'll cross the street to avoid them." Chase nodded.
"My fear is pregnant women. So I'm gonna go hit the concrete for that run before it gets too hot outside."
Demetria whipped the stress ball at Chase, hitting him in the shoulder.
"Now I finally understand the use for those damn things."
Divine Wax. At the end of the day, I sat in my new office and spun the jar around on my desk a few times. Tomorrow, I would sit in on the first official think tank strategy meeting as the marketing department kicked off a major rebranding project for Parker Industries' flagship product. I needed to get my brain into the mindset of a consumer doing home waxing. The only problem was, I didn't do my own waxing. So I'd made an appointment for 8 tonight with my regular esthetician. She'd be doing my Brazilian using both her usual and Divine so I could compare. Most of the marketing department had gone, and I was nibbling on a protein bar and sipping a soda I'd gotten from the vending machine in the break room when Chase appeared in my doorway. Unlike this morning, he was dressed in business attire. He loosened his tie as he spoke.
"Dr. Pepper, huh?"
I hadn't had one in years, but when I saw it in the machine today, it reminded me of when I'd run into Chase at the gym and he'd told me how much he liked it. The memory had spurred me to push the button before I gave it any real thought. "My cousin really likes them," I told him. "Thought I'd give it a try." He smiled in that "I'm insanely hot and I'm not even trying at all" kind of way he had. "God, stop doing that.
You like to work late.
I do my best work at night, I said. Chase's eyebrows jumped.
It's after hours now, so I'm not the boss anymore. Isn't that how you told me it worked this morning?
I leaned back in my chair. It's after six, so say what's on your mind. He moved to sit across from me and gave me his best dirty grin.
I was just going to say I do my best work at night also.
I'm sure you do, although I was referring to brainstorming advertising ideas. I find I'm more creative in the evening. Sometimes, after I've climbed into bed and shut off the lights, an idea will come to me for something I was trying all day to focus on.
I'm very creative when I shut off the lights and slip into bed, too. Maybe we should try that together sometime. Probably produce some amazing results. Twice as creative and all.
I shook my head, but smiled, amused. You're an HR nightmare, aren't you? I bet you make Samantha work hard for her salary.
Actually, I'm not. You just keep hitting on me, and I can't help but react. It's kind of inappropriate, considering I'm your boss and all.
My eyes bulged. I'm not hitting on you. You're the one...
Relax. I'm joking. I don't find it inappropriate at all. Keep doing it.
Have you been sniffing wax chemicals all day? Chase's grin was contagious.
So, how late you staying?
He asked. I have an appointment at 8. I figured I'd stick around until then, since it's on my way home.
Dinner with Braxton?
Bryant. And no, I have a wax appointment. I held up the small jar of Divine. Figured I'd do a little product research.
I should come.
To get waxed?
To watch you get waxed.
His eyes gleamed.
Research?
When Samantha suddenly appeared at my door, she gave us an odd smile. I've been waiting in your office for 10 minutes. Are we still grabbing a bite? Chase looked at me.
We're going over to Azuri's for falafel. Want to join us?
Thanks, I'd love to, but I have that appointment. Later that night, after hanging up with Bryant, I was lying in the dark, replaying my day when my phone buzzed. It wasn't a number I recognized, and the message seemed cryptic. It read, "Are you and Tallulah twins?" It took me a minute to figure it out. For a moment, I'd forgotten I gave Chase my number to pass to Samantha that day when we met at the gym. I closed my eyes and smiled to myself, suddenly not feeling sleepy at all. Chapter 7. Reese. It was only day 2, but I already loved my new job. It had rekindled something inside of me that I hadn't felt in a long time. I hadn't even realized it was missing until now. Passion. I couldn't wait to go to work when I woke up this morning. I'd been there at one point with my previous job, but where had that feeling gone? Parker Industries made me feel alive again. I'd spent all morning in a marketing think tank session listening to the group come up with ideas. These people fed off of each other, building off of each other's thoughts to come up with the best single idea, rather than competing with one another. Since I was new, I listened more than I spoke. We'd returned from lunch, and Josh was standing at the whiteboard, scribbling random words that people called out when Chase slipped into the back of the room. He stood quietly, observing. Feeling his eyes on me, I glanced back a few times, and his gaze was always waiting for mine. There were 2 empty seats in the room. One was next to me. After a few minutes, Chase silently walked up the side of the room and slipped into the seat to my right. We exchanged a sidelong glance, and then Josh stepped away from what he'd been writing and cleared his throat.
"What do women want?" he'd written on the whiteboard in big black letters.
"Before we get started again this afternoon, let's talk about the things we know."
He counted off facts with his fingers, beginning with his pointer.
1, our customers are 96% women. 2, women's buying habits are different than men's. 3, 91% of women in the survey we did last year said advertisers don't understand them.
He ticked up his pinky as he started his fourth point.
4, men shop for their needs. Women shop for their wants.
Then he tapped on the board.
What do women want? If we're going to sell them a product, let's start at the very beginning.
He pointed to easels set up on both sides of the room.
We're going to split up into two teams. There are two whiteboards. Let's make this interesting, shall we? All the women work together on the right side of the room, and all the men work together on the left. I want a minimum of 5 wants on each of your lists. More is fine. I'll be the scrivener for the men.
He looked to Chase, who offered a single nod.
Chase will be the scrivener for the women.
Chase leaned over to me and whispered,
"You smell incredible, like the beach in the summer."
He breathed in deep through his nose.
"Coconut? Maybe some honeysuckle mixed with a little citrus."
I shook my head, but whispered back,
"Thank you."
Then I pointed to my watch.
"Inappropriate during the workday?"
"Oh, yeah? Adrian Brody needs a raise. I'm about to get a roadmap into what makes you tick, and I get to call it actual work. Love this job sometimes."
After the room had been rearranged and everyone was comfortable in their new seats, Trace suggested each woman take 5 minutes to make her own list, and then we could see what the group collectively came up with. He tried to peek at mine a few times, but I covered my notepad and grinned. After everyone's pens had slowed, Chase stood, swiped the marker from the tray, opened it, and scribbled "What women want" with a thick slash underlining it.
"Of course, I already know the answer to this one, but since I'm the facilitator, I'll let you ladies take your best shot."
He smiled playfully. And there was that damn dimple again. "Go away! You're like kryptonite to my brain." At first, the wants being tossed around were typical. Money, love, security, adventure, health, beauty, fun, simplicity. The ladies in the group argued over a few, but most of their note pages were full of crossouts that we'd listed on the whiteboard or disregarded. I was mostly quiet, and my list still had a few items not already mentioned. Chase looked over and tried to read my list upside down.
"What do you want, Reese? Anything left on your list?"
I nibbled on my bottom lip as I looked down at my notepad. "Recognition, safety, power, family." Checking off as I went, I found one left. I hesitated, but then looked up and said, "Orgasms." Pointing to love on the whiteboard, Chase asked,
"Are orgasms not covered here?"
I tilted my head. The two aren't mutually inclusive to most women, believe it or not.
"Fair enough."
Chase added orgasms to our list. Of course, he made it twice the size of the other wants. He also added family, safety, and recognition to the list.
"Power. What does that mean, as in strength?"
"No, meaning the ability to influence the behavior of others."
"In order for you to have power, you need to strip it from the others you're going to influence. So you want to be a dictator? Women want to be dictators?"
"No. You're taking the concept of power to an extreme.
A dictator rules by force and oppression. Women want to rule by influence. We like a softer touch.
I don't think women want the power in everything.
Abby, one of the brand managers, cackled at Chase's statement.
That's because you're a man.
Our goal is to get to the root of what women want so we can connect our product to that want. So let's be honest with ourselves. There are times when a woman wants to cede control to a man.
Chase pointed to the big O in orgasm.
In the bedroom. A lot of women like a dominant lover.
The women mumbled and shook their heads, but I spoke up. That's true, but we still want to hold the power there. It's the woman who decides when it's time to have sex in a relationship. It's our influence that controls whether the act happens or not. Even in a true, dominant, submissive relationship, when a woman is submissive to her male partner, she still holds the power even as she's being paddled. She has a safe word, and that gives her all the control. She has the power and influence even from the physically submissive position. I was mindlessly twisting one of my bracelets, a nervous habit I had, and when I looked up, I found Chase staring at my wrists. He cleared his throat and capped the marker abruptly.
Good work, everyone. I think our list is complete. Gotta run to an afternoon appointment. I'm looking forward to seeing which want will be at the center of our rebranding campaign.
It was after 8, and the night cleaning crew was vacuuming, so I didn't hear Chase coming down the hall until he was in my doorway.
14 hours a day. You're even making me look bad.
He had changed out of his suit and into running shorts and a t-shirt. God, his thighs are thick and muscular. I had my hair piled up on top of my head, a bunch of pencils sticking out of it. I caught the quizzical look on Chase's face as he examined it. I forgot a hair tie. By the end of the day, I need my hair off my neck. Chase's eyes traced my neckline. I felt a flutter in my belly at the way he seemed to be unable to stop staring.
So, what was the consensus today?
He asked.
The strategy for the rebranding campaign. What does a woman want?
We're not there yet. We've narrowed it down to 3, and we're going to map out ideas for them and see which takes us in the right direction.
Which 3?
Power, adventure, and orgasms.
Well, we know those 3 combined did well for those 50 Shades books.
This is true. He tilted his head.
You read those?
I did.
And?
Loved them. Women love a fantasy. His eyes never left mine.
It's after business hours, right?
I looked down at my watch. I'd say so.
You into that sort of thing?
The color on my face answered the question. I avoided meeting his gaze as I stared down, twisting my bracelet. I don't think so, but I've never actually tried it. Forcing my eyes up to his, I asked, "How about you?"
Not something I ever gave any thought to myself, but I could see the appeal of tying a woman up, having her vulnerable before me. A certain element of power for both people, in a way.
His eyes fell to my throat when I swallowed.
Maybe seeing my pink hand mark on her pale skin, on her ass, the inside of her thighs.
He paused, staring at my wrists.
Bound. A blindfold, maybe a toy or two.
Thought you said you never gave any thought to it.
I didn't.
He waited until our eyes locked.
Until today. Didn't get shit done thinking about your tiny little wrists and...
How much I look forward to seeing them tied to my headboard someday.
Just then, my cell started to buzz. I looked down, seeing the name, and my eyes